What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at Daniel 3 and 4, and then 1 John 3 in the New Testament. So here in Daniel chapter 3, we already saw that these people got promoted. We got Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They have been promoted now. So they're doing more impressive, bigger work than they did before. But it says that there came a time when King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue and told everyone to bow down to it. And there were obviously going to be consequences for anyone that did not bow down to this idol. But they say, we're not going to do this. By the way, Daniel is actually not in the picture in this episode. We don't know where he is. Maybe he's on a business trip. Maybe he's doing work for the king elsewhere. But we just don't see him here. We see the three friends, though, and they refuse to bow down to this idol. Now, there's no other Jews that stand up and say, we won't bow down to your idol. It's just these three. And Nebuchadnezzar was obviously mad at them. It says, in a furious rage, he commanded them to be brought to him. And he said, you need to bow down to this idol. I will give you one more chance. He didn't call it an idol. He called it a figure, an image, a statue. But he says at the end of this, in verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar asks them the question, who is the God that is able to deliver you out of my hands? Now, when you read that, you should say, Daniel's trying to show you something, right? Who's the real characters in this story? Well, God is the main character of the book of Daniel. He's the one that's constantly doing things. He's the one that's constantly praised as the God above all kings and all kingdoms. So that question right there should make you say, well, God is the God who's able to deliver you. And they say to King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, we don't even need to answer you about this. We could just be silent. But here's an answer for you. If you are going to do this, if you're going to deliver us to this fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. So there's a confidence that they have that God will protect them from the king. But verse 18, if God does not protect them from the fiery furnace, he says, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So they are fully on board with whatever punishment that they're going to get for not obeying King Nebuchadnezzar and not bowing down to the statue. They're fully on board. They're saying, look, God's able to save us. I know that for sure. And he will deliver us. Let's think that through. Even if they died, they would have been delivered from the king. God would have saved them and protected them and brought him to, like David says, be with God in glory. So they had that confidence in the afterlife that God was going to take care of them. But it says, they said, look, even if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we're not going to obey. So they are thrown in the fiery furnace and God does protect them. And it says, even when they're in that fiery furnace, it looks like there's a fourth person that walks around and Nebuchadnezzar's all freaked out and he calls into them and he says, hey, servants of the Most High God, which remember, you've got that whole, maybe the idea that Daniel gave to him came back to his mind right here, or maybe he had Daniel's God in mind the whole time. He just thought he was better than Daniel's God. And then we see here that obviously Daniel's God, and now the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he is able to deliver them. So they walk out, they're unharmed, they don't even smell like smoke, even though the people that threw them in the furnace died because it was so hot. Nebuchadnezzar says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Think that through. It's such a clear understanding of what God was trying to teach. Such a clear understanding. It says, blessed be these guys because they delivered up their bodies to be burned instead of worshiping another god. That's how good their God is. And Nebuchadnezzar realizes that. He makes a decree. He says, all right, nobody can talk bad about this God. Nobody can say anything bad about this God. They actually, people have to be torn limb from limb if they do anything bad against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So that's chapter 3. Chapter 4 is a really interesting chapter. I think it's one of the coolest chapters in the whole Bible because it is written from the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar. So we think maybe Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote this and gave it to Daniel, or maybe Daniel wrote it from Nebuchadnezzar's perspective because of their conversations. Either way, this is a cool chapter. So Daniel 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's perspective on his relationship with God. So first of all, he praises God. He says something nice about God at the beginning, but then he has another dream. That's why he says here in verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar. So this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. He says, I was at ease in my house, and I was prospering in my palace. Everything was going well. But then I had this vision, this weird vision, that I had this tree that was set up, and it covered all these awesome places. It gave so many birds shade. But then an angel came, a watcher, a holy one came, and said, cut this down, chop down this tree, lop off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. And so that happens. And then all that's left is this little stump. And then here at the end, verse 17 says, the sentence is by decree of the watcher. That's the angel here. The decision by the word of the holy ones. To the end, this is the reason why, that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. Who is the lowliest of men? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he has to realize. But it says he was perplexed. This dream, I was all freaked out. So I asked you, Daniel, Belteshazzar, I asked you about it. And Daniel gave the interpretation. He says, the tree, it's you. You're the tree. God is going to come and cut you down, and all that's going to be left is a stump, so that everyone will know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he wills. Then he says in verse 27, this is Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness. He says, stop doing all the sinful things you're doing and start practicing righteousness. And your iniquities, by showing mercy to the oppressed. So stop your iniquities by showing mercy to the people in your kingdom that are oppressed, that there perhaps might be a lengthening of your prosperity. Maybe God will hold this off for a while if you only serve God. And then it says, all this came to me, King Nebuchadnezzar, and I was thinking, and I was walking around in my palace, and one of the things I said, says, is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty? You see that? He's talking like a proud man, because he is a proud man. And then it says after that, while the words were still in the king's mouth, right, as he's still talking, as he's saying, oh, the glory of my majesty, right when that happens, okay, it says, a voice fell from heaven, said, O Nebuchadnezzar, it is to you that I've spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. So until seven periods of time shall pass over you. So for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to go crazy. He's going to lose his mind. He's going to act like an animal. And then it says, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. We saw that in verse 17 in the dream. We saw that in verse 25 in the interpretation. Now we see it here in verse 32, as God speaks to it again and says, until you know that the Most High rules and gives the kingdom to whoever he wills. Has he gotten the lesson yet? The answer is no, he hasn't got it yet. So for 7 years, he acts like a crazy person. God drives him crazy. And then it says, at the end of my days, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him, for he who lived forever, quote, now here's a section, one of those songs that is broken out to, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven, the angels, the angel armies. And among the inhabitants of the earth, all the armies of the world too. And none can stay his hand and say, what have you done? And then Nebuchadnezzar says, at the same time, my reason returned to me, the glory of my kingdom returned to me, my majesty and splendor, God gave it all back to me. Okay, my counselors and my lord sought me. I was established in my kingdom, and still greater things were added to me. So it's like the end of the book of Job, right? He's just, things are going well for him. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. That's the God that I serve. For all his works are right and his ways are just. To those who walk in pride, he is able to humble them. That is the lesson of King Nebuchadnezzar. That's why Daniel chapter 4 is one of the coolest chapters in the whole Bible. You see a man who's prideful, God humbles him, and he knows ahead of time, like, I need to humble you. I need you to be humble. And God has told him that. And he doesn't listen, and God has to humble him the hard way. But then he says here at the end, God's able to humble the proud. If you're proud, God's able to humble you. And you might think, well, my story is never going to be like Nebuchadnezzar's story. Well, if you're saying that, you're probably in the position that Nebuchadnezzar was in, thinking, look at all this great stuff. I have it all under control. Once you realize that God is the one who gives the kingdom, so to speak, to whoever he wills, that's when you're going to start to be humble, like Nebuchadnezzar was humble at the end of his life. So We got to learn the lesson of humility through Nebuchadnezzar here. So that's our Old Testament reading. Now we're looking at 1 John chapter 3. This chapter is full of so much good stuff about loving one another, about living for God. Really, two themes at the beginning. First of all, he says, you are God's children right now. If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, you are God's kid right now. Not when you get to heaven will you become God's kid, but you have been adopted into God's family and you are one right now. And if that's the case, do not live like a sinful person anymore. He says, look, if you're living in all the sin that you used to, how can you say you're God's kid? God's seed does not abide in you if you make a practice of sinning. Literally, it means if you are a doer of sinful things, if you're a practicer of these sinful things, how can you say God abides in you? He doesn't. You're not one of his kids. Then he says, this is what the message that we've been hearing from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then there's this big, long description. He says, don't be a hater. Don't be like Cain who killed his brother Abel. He says, no murderer. Remember, someone who hates, that's a murderer of the heart. He says, no murderer will inherit eternal life. You can't go to heaven if you've got hatred in your heart. God's not going to be okay with that. But he says later, he says, all this stuff, this love and things we're supposed to do, all of it should assure your hearts before God. You should be assured and know that, okay, I know I'm right with God because I've seen how God has transformed my life. Hopefully, you can look back and see that too. How has God transformed your life? If you can see love in places that you haven't before, and you can see righteousness in places you haven't before, praise God for that, because that was God's work in you. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, we don't want to take the credit for something that God did. We want to see that God has done a great work in you. If you're a Christian, God has saved you, redeemed you, made you his kid, and also he's transformed your life so that now you can practice righteousness and love one another, which is an amazing thing. So praise God for that. We'll see you back tomorrow for another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.